Good news. I have encouraging news. He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Amen? Whether you feel it or don't, he's still greater inside of you. Whether your flesh knows it or it doesn't, he's still greater than what's in the world. Amen? So what I want to talk to you a little bit about today is, I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I guess if there was a title to the message, it would be, a prison or a temple? What are you building? We're all building something. The Bible says we're building the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom of God. So what are we building? And those of you who prayed for me this week, I'm very grateful. It was not a great week. And those of you who haven't, there's still time. You can start right now. Please do. You know, when God brings a message to you, and like anything else he brings to you, he wants you to walk through it so that you know it, can live it, and can apply it to your everyday life. And so, you know, I'm honored at the fact that God would have me bring something to you that he showed me, but I'm also got to live it. So you can take that for what you want. So anyway, a prison or a temple, what are we building? And the next question would be, who are we building it with? We're either building with the Lord, we're building with Satan, or we're building it in and of ourselves. And if we're building it in and of ourselves, guess what? We're not building with the Lord. So really, we're only building with God or with Satan. If we look at John 14:23, we ask about who we're building with and who we're thinking about. Jesus answered and said unto him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's what I want to build. God's home, God's temple. That's what he wants us to build. He wants us to be his temple, his home. So it's pretty clear cut. I think we all know that. The Lord wants us to be his temple, to be his building place. If you look at Romans 7, 21 through 23, then I find a law that is evil and present within me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's pretty clear cut what Satan's looking to do. He's right there with God. They're right there. Good and evil, always together, one side or the other. Now we need to decide who builds what and what we're going to allow to be built. It is both God and Satan's plan to build with us. God has purposed in his heart from the beginning to dwell with us, and Satan has planned from the beginning to use us, hurt us, lie to us, and get back at God for hurting him. The one way that Satan can get back at God is to go after the one thing that he loves the absolute most, which is us, his children. He loves us more than anything he's ever created. And what better way for Satan to get back at him than to go after the one thing that he loves? So we have God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all who want to dwell in us and want to have us to be their temple. And then there's Satan, who wants to capture us, imprison us, bind us, and make us of no use to God. He wants to kill us, rob us, destroy us, not only physically, but mentally. It starts in the mind. The flesh and the body is like it flows downhill. That is the manifestation of what's going on in the spirit. What's going on, what we allow in the spirit. It's manifested in our physical bodies. So where do we find all this building taking place? In our minds. You know, a thought occurred to me when I was preparing this message. I thought about it and I says, what do you call the two sides of your head? Your temples. It's kind of a little neat God thing. Isn't that neat? Yeah, it's kind of neat. I thought it was kind of neat. I was like, wow, God, yeah. Why would they call that temple? But God's temple, he desires to build a temple in our minds, a dwelling place for him, for his thoughts, for his desires, for his plans, for his purposes. He wants the mind creates the action that we do. We get a thought, our body responds. Our emotions respond. Our words respond from a thought. That's what God wants. He's after our minds. And that's why Jesus is the head of the church, because we would blow it. He's perfect. He's the perfect mind, the perfect head. We're the body to do what he wants to do. That's corporately. So everything God does with us individually, he does on a bigger scale as well. He's working so multidimensional that, you know, we can't keep up. But for ourselves, our little part, our sphere, God wants to dwell in our minds. He wants to build a temple in our minds. And you also think about that. Where do we need the most saving? In our minds. You look at the armor of God. What goes on your head? The helmet of salvation. Our minds need to be saved. They need to be renewed. So, we look at Romans 7, 23 through 25. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So, I mean, it's plain and simple. It's all throughout the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. We are not our own. We'd like to think that we are. We are. If we deny him, we are if we refuse him. But when we accept him and ask him to come into our hearts and lives, it's not ours anymore. We don't have all the say. We shouldn't have all the say. And when we have all the say, we're not building a temple. We're building a little shrine to ourselves. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Yeah, this is the one we had trouble with earlier. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Now I talked a little bit about God does things corporately as well as individually. And we can see a corporate example of this in Ephesians 2, verses 20 through 22. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. The whole building would be all of us collectively. We are living stones in the temple of God on the face of the earth, in the kingdom of God on the face of the earth. And then the last one corporately thinking is 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we see multidimensional. God is working on us as individuals that we would be a temple for him, and he's working on the church corporately that would be his kingdom and his temple here on the face of the earth. So on the other hand, there's the prison. If we look at 2 Peter 2:18 and 19, this is what Satan wants to build in us and do in us. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. What's the next verse? There we go. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So as those thoughts of Satan come into our minds, if we allow them to overcome us, it becomes bondage for us. He's building a prison to bind us. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through the death he might destroy him who hath the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And another one would be Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He's freeing us. We see the devil's plan happening here. And then Romans 7:23. Okay, great. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So that's his purpose, his plan, Satan, to build a prison in us. So we've got this big construction site. Mike can relate to this. We've got this big construction site going on in our minds. So you say, okay, we got this construction site going on in our minds. God wants to build a temple. Satan wants to build a prison. Well, what are the building materials that these guys are looking to use to build this temple and to build this prison? Strangely enough, they use the same material. They use the same material to build a prison or build a temple. The materials are our thoughts, our paradigms, which is our thought processes, how we think, our experiences, our revelations, our benefits, and our learned behaviors, both good and bad, are the building materials that both God and Satan use to construct either the temple or the prison in our minds. So you think about all those things. So let's open up our thoughts and our imaginations for a minute, and let's take a walk onto the construction site of our minds, okay? So we walk onto this construction site. Now, this is a never-ending construction site. It will go on from the day we're born until the day we're in eternity and we're in that perfect mindset of Christ. So we're on this never-ending construction site. There's construction going on. There's demolition going on. There's constantly stuff going on. 24/7. Our minds never stop. Right? How many are kept up all night because you can't think about, you know? Never stops. So this is a spiritual construction site where the results of what's being constructed are manifested in our flesh. So what we allow to be constructed in the spirit, in our minds, manifests itself in our flesh. I must be doing good because my wife's taking notes. Yeah, maybe they're not notes. So as we go through our day and we're presented with a stone, if you're a mason, or a piece of wood if you're a carpenter, or in my profession, a car part. You get a fender that comes in, you know. And as with any materials or building materials, the quality of the material depends on the manufacturer, right? Okay. So there's three manufacturers that create all of the material that God and Satan are looking to build within us. Obviously, the first manufacturer is the Lord himself. God brings a thought into our lives. It's a perfect thought. It's ready to be used. It's got no flaws. Its finish is beautiful. And it will be seen that way by others who see it in our temple. It needs nothing. It's ready. It's perfect. We only need to use it and apply it. So we need to take that thought of God and we build our wall. We apply it to the wall. We apply it to the temple. We apply it to our lives. And as we apply it, the flesh manifests that truth, that thought, that whatever that God is bringing to us. Now there's the other manufacturer, Satan. He brings us a thought, looks like a good thought, sounds like a good thought. It's definitely a thought. It's clearly not perfect, but we could use it. It's inconsistent in quality. It's very much like the original, but not quite right. And the end result, I'm thinking like a fender that comes in. You get an aftermarket fender that's not an original one. You go to put it on the car. You put it on a car. The gaps are off. It looks horrible. But it's a fender. It comes in a box. Yeah, that looks like, that'll work. Yep, yeah, that's the one I need. It's for a Chevy. Perfect. Let's put it on the car. We go to put it on the car. We go to apply it. Whoa. That's not right. That is way off. Or it could be just a little off. But it's off. It's not right. It's not perfect. And the manifestation of applying something that doesn't come from God, coming from Satan as the manufacturer, results in it's not right. It's off. In the long run, by applying something that doesn't come from the Lord, creates way more work. Because now you got to do the whole job over again to make it right. And the Lord will bring us around and around and around that mountain until we get it right. We keep trying to apply that fender. Well, maybe I'll send it back and get another one from the same manufacturer. Guess what? That one's not going to be right either. Third are our own products. We have our own thoughts. God's created us to have our own thoughts. You know, the ones that we make, some are good, some are bad. Some are good ideas, some are God ideas. It's what we do with what we create that determines the end result. Do we compare them to the rest of the world? Do we compare them to Satan's manufacturing and the rest of the world? We compare our thoughts and our actions to that? Do we just use them without considering the end result? Or do we compare them to the instruction manual? Do we compare them to the original? Do we compare them to the truth? Do they fit the master plan? Will they fit perfectly? Now, sometimes we have some good ideas, but if we don't bring them to the Lord and have Him take our fender and say, you know, it's got a little crease right there. Let's just work that out a little bit. Put a little Bondo on it. Let's get it ready. Let's get it prepped so that it is acceptable and it will work and it will fit in the plan. Then we can use it. But if we just take our own stuff and just try to use it, it's not perfect. Only His stuff is perfect. So we have to submit it to Him for inspection, for correction, for massaging, for whatever He wants to do, whether it's a thought, whether it's an idea, whether it's an emotion, all of those things, whether it's a thought process, all of those things need to be brought to the master builder for His inspection, for His approval, for His massaging, and then it goes into the plan, into the temple that we build. Once we take it to Him and He reviews it and goes through it and does what He's got to do with us concerning that thing, when we put that in the wall, it's perfect. It's got His stamp of approval on it. If we don't, we put it in our prison cell over here and we just make more work for ourselves later on, trying to get out of what we already built. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:5 that we must take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This also goes for our experiences, our beliefs, our memories, all of those building materials. They need to come into captivity to Christ and what He says about those things. If we bring our products to Him, He will shape them, clean them, straighten them out, and make them perfect for building. And the result, the world will see the fruit of what He's done in us and what He's doing through us as a temple. So we need to know a little bit more about Satan's building products, right? I talked to you a little bit about that. Our past, that's his building product. He's got nothing new, by the way. He's got nothing new. He's got nothing original. Everything he has is a counterfeit, a copy, a lie. It's not right. There's nothing he has that will benefit you in the long run other than create more work for you. So our past, our failures, our sins, his thoughts about us, you know, his temptations, his distractions, especially the ones that look right, feel right, usually always will only feel right to our flesh, and they will not line up with God. So when we take those things, say it's somebody struggling with fear, like we talked, the scripture we saw, fear comes into our construction site, this big truck backs up, and here's a big pound of fear. Lord, whatever. I got a lot of mortgage payments due this month. And here comes that truck, backing up with fear and your mortgage payments. And what do we do with that? What do we do with that? It's on our construction site. These things, you can't send them back. The building materials that come in your mind, you can't send them back. You have to do something with them. So you either have to bring them into the light, into the truth. You either have to take them on yourself and try to do something with it. Or you have to let it sit there and be a mess on your construction site. So, fear comes in. Boop, 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 boop. Poof. There it is. Look at the checkbook. You know, of course, there's all little attachments on that bill of lading. Look at your checkbook. Look at how much you owe. Look how much work is coming in this week. Look at the bottom line. You're negative. You're negative. You're negative. These are all things that Satan brings that one thing in, and pop, I'll pop all these surprises with it. So what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do about that fear? It could be a fear of, the doctor said you have cancer, or whatever it is. What is the truth about that fear? So we have to take that truck and bring it over here to the master builder and say, Lord, here it is. I want this to be your construction site with me, not Satan's construction site with me. So what does the word of the Lord say about fear? It's not from him. Right? God is God and not a God of fear, but of a sound mind. I don't know all of scripture. Power, love, and a sound mind. Yes, thank you. So that's what he says about it. Right? So now we take this truckload of fear and say, okay, Lord, this is what you say about it. So how is that going to affect my temple, God? Well, I'm going to let that wash over your mind, that that's not from me, that I am your provider, that I am the lover of your soul, that I do take care of everything. It's not from me. I don't want it for you. So let's just take that. Because you've given it to me as the master builder, I have the authority, and I've given you the authority to take that with me, and let's bring it to the dump. Because it doesn't belong on our construction site. Let's get rid of it. Together, we get rid of it. It doesn't belong in our construction site. And when that empty truck is there, that was full of fear, that is now gone, the result in our flesh, the result in our temple is we overcame. God overcomes. He sends a delivery of the amount we need for the mortgage. He sends the healing. He sends the answer. But he can't send it unless we submit it to him. Pretty simple analogies, but it takes us a long time to get that to work in our lives. Because with that fear comes all those surprises, the emotions, the thoughts, all the other stuff. When the simple truth is, all that, as big as it looks and as bad as it feels and as nervous as it makes you, it's not from me. It's not from me. So you can either build with the master builder. We could take all that upon ourselves and try to work it out and stay up sleepless nights and just, next thing you know, we're over here in our prison. Oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. It's really fearful. I'm taking that fear and I'm putting that block right there. Yeah, I'm scared of that. And Lord, I don't have the mortgage. I don't have the money. I'll put another block on top of that. And, what am I going to do? We don't have groceries. I put another block on top of that. The next thing you know, you are surrounded in a prison cell that you have made over one little thing. And you're not doing anything for the Lord. You're eating yourself up. Your body physically is going to pay the price. It all flows downhill. When you're in a prison cell of your own stuff, does the world see Jesus in you? They can't. Our goal is to have Christ living in us, being manifested and seen in us, in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. So if I'm over here and I start talking to my friend and saying, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have 3 mortgage payments due. The house, the business, the home equity line, the business equity line, 4 mortgages due. What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? Where am I going to find help? I mean, what do they see? panic, fear. They see that all over you. On the other hand, you know, God has been so good to me. He's always provided for me, supernaturally, for years and years and years. You see the Spirit of God coming out. That's what you see when you take the truth of what he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. And when you know his heart, his plans, and his purpose for you, none of that, people can't help but to see God's faithfulness, his favor, when you declare it. That's the difference. That's the difference. So you take that fear, you bring it the truth to it, and you manifest temple life. You manifest kingdom life to the world who doesn't read the Bible. So they're looking at you. Well, geez, he's got problems just like me. Look at him. Crying about his mortgage and this and that and this and that and this and that and his sickness and this and that. He's no different than I am. Why should I bother going to church for 2 hours a Sunday? I could watch football or go fishing or something. On the other hand, they say, wow, God really did something in this guy's life. Look at that. He provided for him. He, you know, supernaturally, stuff came here, came there. God healed him. Maybe I need some of that because I don't have that. I have that. I have a whole boatload of that, but I don't have any of that. So you see the logistics of how that works, right? So in a nutshell, thought comes in. We either apply it to the truth or we don't. An emotion comes in. We either apply it to the truth or we don't. Okay, so it becomes the block in the prison or it becomes a block in our temple, in the dwelling place of the Lord, where people see the Lord and what he's done, or people see us and the mess that Satan's making out of us. So while I was visiting my mom and dad last weekend, I went to their church, Calvary Christian Church. And their pastor had just come back from 3 weeks of vacation, which is ironic because ours is away for 3 weeks. It's kind of neat. It's the stupid stuff like that gets to me. And he was on fire about this stuff that God is doing. And he preached about a shift that is taking place in the Spirit. We need a shift in the Spirit. The church needs a good shift. The church needs a good kick into the next lane. We don't want to miss this shift.
We don't want to miss the shift. Get it?
It's always exciting to see the consistency of what the Spirit's doing from one church to another when you go. So, anyway, the spiritual shift that's going to take place has to take place someplace first, right? Whatever happens in the church has to happen to us individually, because God works multidimensional. So the first place that shift is going to take place is on our construction site. Yay! Amazing. So the first part of the shift that's going to take place and that's going to help us with our construction site, it's not about change, but it's about reconnecting ourselves with God's original intentions for our life and his plans for humanity. That's a quote from the other pastor. We need to reconnect ourselves with God's original intentions for our life and for his plans for humanity. That's the first part of the shift. We need to reconnect. We need to find the original. We have to line up with the truth. The second part. The shift will only come to those who are not tied to what they see and know, but tied to what God sees and God knows. So he's reading this stuff. I'm like, dude, that's my sermon. Right? It's not what we know. It's not what we see. It's what God knows and what God sees and what we tie ourselves to, what we allow on our construction site. Are we going to allow what we see and we know and we feel and we worry about and we and the world sees and knows and feels? Are we going to be like them? Or are we going to know and tie ourselves to what God knows about our situation, to what God knows about all situations, to what God knows about the one that's coming that we don't even know is coming? What are we going to tie ourselves to? The truth,
the Word, the rock, the chief cornerstone on our construction site, where everything comes off of, Jesus Christ. That's when the shift will come, when we tie ourselves, and it's not going to come to those who don't tie themselves to what God knows and God sees. So when we do the first thing and reconnect with God, His plans and His purposes, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our plans, some things are going to happen in the flesh as a result. I got five things listed in here. The first one, your prayers are going to shift. The focus of your prayers are going to shift. The way you pray is going to shift. It's not going to be so self-centered or so pray about my stuff, God help me with my stuff, because we've already taken that stuff and we know what that stuff, God says about that stuff, so we're not going to pray, we're not worried about that. Our prayers change. God, use me. God, what's your will? God, what's your plan? God, what's your purpose? God, just help me with one thing today that I know I've heard you with, that I can speak life into somebody. Not, Lord, how are we going to pay the mortgage? I already gave that to you. That's already dead. That's already gone. It's at the dump. Don't go back to the dump. There's nothing good at the dump. Just stay no. So our prayers will shift. We're going to begin to have the mind of Christ is going to begin to develop in us. And our prayers are going to line up with His prayers. Our prayers are going to be more outward than inward, because we already know the inward stuff gets taken care of because we're tied to the chief cornerstone. So our focus is going to change. Second thing that's going to shift or change is going to be our praise will shift. It will change. We're not going to be, oh, Lord, deliver me. No, God has delivered me. He is the King. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to stir up that gift because I know the truth. I'm tied to the truth. And when I walk in that door, all that crap stays outside. It stays outside of my construction site. It's at the dump. I don't bring the dump into church with me. I don't want to carry the dump around with me in life. So our praise begins to change. We don't have to work up to praise. Oh, I don't really feel the Holy Spirit today. Well, guess what? He's still here. The next thing that's going to shift are our motives. As our prayers shift spiritually, our praise shifts spiritually, our physical body and mind and physical thoughts begin to change. Our motives begin to shift. Our desires begin to shift. Our actions, next thing, begins to shift. Our attitude will shift, and our minds are well on their way to being renewed to the mind of Christ, which is what we want to build on our construction site. So we can see this morning that God has brought us back a truth to us about our thoughts, about bringing them into captivity, and what is going on in our minds throughout the day. Whether we're aware of it or not, we're doing our thing, stuff is happening. Stuff's getting in subconsciously. And then when you take a moment and that truck pulls into your construction site, then we know what to do and how to deal with it. It's not an easy thing to do. And the devil is certainly not going to make it any easier. He's going to back the biggest truck up that he's got. The biggest one that will fit on your construction site, he's going to back it up. And guess what? If that one doesn't fit, he's got a bigger one outside the gate waiting. Because that's where he wants your focus. How am I going to deal with this? And look what's behind. Oh, my God. That's what he's looking to do. He's not going to make it easier. This was not an easy week for me. If anything could have gone wrong this week, it went wrong. But guess what? I'm tied to the cornerstone. God's going to provide the things that I need that I'm struggling with this week. God's going to take whatever thought it was that Satan's trying to distract me with, keeping me up at night instead of working on my sermon, thinking about this or thinking about that, or how am I going to get this job done, and when can I get that job done? This car's been here for 2 months, and we've only done a couple things on it. It's on and on and on and on and on. I'm tied to the truth of God's taking care of it. I'm going to do my part and do the best I can, but I'm going to do it with him. I'm not going to do it by myself. I'm not going to allow the situation to make me do it by myself. I'm going to do it with him. Say, okay, Lord, I need your help. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be diligent. If I got to stay and work till 10 o'clock at night, I'll do what I have to do. I will do my part, but you will make a way. You will make a way. The work will get done. It's your business. It's your construction site. So, some more good news. You're not in the shift alone. God said that he desires that we be one just as Jesus and he are one. We're in the shift with him. We're in the shift with Jesus. We're in the shift with the Holy Spirit. Hey, we're looking like I've got a good little group going on here. Well, guess what? We're all in the shift together. We're all in this together. He wants all of us to be one, just like he and Jesus are one. So we got some reinforcements in each other. We've got some answers from the Lord in each other. We got some healings from the Lord in each other. We've got encouragement from the Lord in each other. We have strength from the Lord in each other. And as our minds are renewed and we start to look out instead of in, oh, there's some strength right there. She was dancing this morning. The power of God, I felt it, saw it. There's strength, encouraged me, you know. Oh, someone went through something. I saw them go through it, and God delivered them. Wow, there's strength there. I can pull on that and use that to help me polish my brick and put it in the temple. We can go to one another for prayer, for support, for confirmation, for encouragement. Guess what? We're supposed to. That's the plan. That's part of the construction site corporately. We need to go to one another. So you got one block. Well, you got to put another block next to it. And you got to put something in between those to hold them together. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the love of the Father that binds us together. That's the oneness in Christ. It's our responsibility to maintain that. How do we maintain it? By encouraging one another. By loving one another, by praying with one another. That's how we maintain the oneness of Christ. That's our responsibility. God doesn't do all the work. We do the work. He shows us how. He provides the tools. But we've got to have the will to be able to do that and maintain that. I'm going to close in prayer. But after prayer, I want you guys to put that into action. Go to one another. Not that you don't. I know that you do. But just love on one another. But love with a mindset that, Lord, do you have something for me, for somebody in here today? How can I maintain that oneness? I can maintain it by, if you've given me something for someone, I can go to them. And that's maintaining that oneness. That's supplying, every joint supplying. How can I do that for one another? And guess what? Somebody else, God's going to give for this thing that whatever you need help of. Our minds shift, our prayers shift, our outlook shifts, right, to others instead of ourselves. So if we're looking out this way, well, guess what? Everybody else is looking at you and desiring the same thing for you, just like God always desires the best for us. That's Jesus coming out of us. That's the application of a good construction site, right? What are you building? You're building a temple. You don't want to be in there by yourself. We want everyone to be in there with us, to share it in its glory. So, Father, we just love you, Lord. We're grateful for your words. We're grateful for your Holy Spirit. We're just grateful, Lord. We enter your gates with thanksgiving and praise, Father. And we ask, Lord, that that spiritual shift would begin to take place in our hearts, in our minds. That between our temples, God, your construction site for your temple, would develop, would grow. Give us your wisdom, Lord, that when things come into our minds, that we tie it to you. We're tied to you. We bring it to you. We line it up with the truth of what your word says about any thought, any situation, any memory, any fear, any past thing. We line it up with your truth. We know the devil's always going back to the dump to bring more stuff to our construction site. We don't want to allow that, Father. We help that you help, ask that you help us recognize it before it even gets in the driveway. So, Lord, just we ask that you would just give us something for each other, that we could apply your principles here and now today. We love you, God. We praise you. We thank you. Your kingdom is being built in us, through us, and with us, Father. Amen.